Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have a former coworker who I worked with when I was in the Air Force in the Boston area. And he's a very funny guy. He's also a very sarcastic guy. He loves to be humorous, the life of the party. Sometimes the content of his jokes is rather inappropriate, and other times it's not so much inappropriate as it is wrong, or what we would call politically incorrect. But he's also one of the most generous people I've ever met, and we've become very good friends over the years. I get to see him every summer when I go out and do my duty, and I'll see him again this summer, God willing. But he's got a problem lately. It doesn't curtail his humor one bit, but I can tell he's worried about it, because every time I see him, it's one of the first things he talks about. He has macular degeneration, and he's slowly losing his sight. I wouldn't doubt if there are a few in this room who are also suffering from this illness. So, of course, the first question I ask him every time I give him a call on the phone is, "Hey, can you still see?" To which he responds, "Yeah, I can, but thanks a lot." Then we laugh. It's a fitting way for me to get an update, and he wouldn't want me to ask it any other way. Now, the thing is, he could be okay for quite some time, or tomorrow. Things could change for the worse in a snap. It's unpredictable. He doesn't know, nor do his doctors. But he did tell me this. He said, "Mike, of all the senses that I could lose," he said, the last one I'd want to give up is my sight. Now, maybe not everyone sitting here today feels that way, but I'm sure more than a few of us do. We'd rather give up our hearing or perhaps our taste or smell or even our touch before we would walk about in darkness. Because without our sight, we're trapped, we're imprisoned, we're not able to do very much. Now let me just say, there are plenty of blind people in our world who have overcome this deficiency to do many, many wonderful things. In fact, Pastor Steve Andrus of the Lutheran Blind Ministry has preached at St. James on several occasions, and I had an opportunity to meet him last fall. And though he can't see a thing, and though it had been over a year since he'd been in our sanctuary, he walked around St. James like he had 20/20 vision without an aid. It was incredible. So I don't mean to say there aren't incredibly driven people that have overcome this, but I bet if you asked Steve or anyone who was blind, "Would you take your sight back if you could have it?" I'm willing to bet they'd say in a heartbeat, "Yes, I would." Because if you're blind, you can't watch TV. You can't surf the internet or watch a sports game. You can't see the beauty of nature or even the beauty of your own children's faces. You simply can't serve God in the ways you could if you had the sight that God has given to humanity. And for those people who do manage to serve our Lord rather well, even though they are blind, I have to wonder, what kind of amazing things would they do for God's kingdom if they could see? Today in our gospel reading, Jesus gives a man who was born blind, he's never seen a thing in his life, he gives him his sight. The man hasn't ever been able to see, but now he does. And Jesus does this to show us that he is the Son of God. He's coming, and he has the power to do all things. Blindness, death, disease, sickness, these are all results of living in this fallen and broken world that you and I deal with each and every day. But you see, when Jesus comes, he starts to overturn those effects in the fall and in everything he does and in every person he meets. Of course, this is just kind of a teaser for what's going to happen when he comes again. And we pray it's very soon. When he sets everything to rights, and no one struggles with anything anymore. And so, we aren't to spiritualize these miracles and to make it as if Jesus is talking about our own spiritual blindness, because he's doing it to show he's God's son. But there is something very interesting about this man's response. Once his eyes are opened, he begins to go and testify about Jesus. When people ask him about Jesus, he doesn't refuse to tell them what he knows. How'd this happen, people say? He says, Jesus did it. When people say, well, I don't understand, he said, look, this is what I know. I was blind, but now I see. And this man, Jesus, has done it. And at the end of the reading, the seeing man places his faith in Jesus and worships him. And the reality is, we who know Jesus and worship him, we can only see the truth because our eyes have been opened. We pair this reading of the man born blind and receiving his sight with Isaiah's reading of the blind and deaf servants. And so, because our lectionary makes the move, we will talk about our own spiritual blindness. We were born into sin. We were born into darkness. Paul says to the Ephesians, once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light. Therefore, live as children of the light. It's a good thing to be able to see. So let me ask you this. Why do we who have been given sight, why do we at times continue to act like blind and deaf servants, serving God as if we're groping around in the darkness? Why, when we're asked to speak of Christ, do we all so often find ourselves mute and dumb? It's nothing new for God's people. Listen to what Isaiah writes to those Old Testament Israelites. He says to them, hear, you deaf, look, you blind, see. Who is blind but my servant, and who is deaf like my messengers? Who is blind like you, servants of the Lord? You see many things, he says, but you don't pay any attention. Your ears are open, but you don't listen. You see, God had given his people a very important task in the world. He had redeemed them, brought them into the promised land, and he set them in the midst of all nations to be a shining example of what life lived within God's will could be like. They were supposed to live in such a way that others would look to them and see how they lived, and see the God they served, and be drawn to worship the one true God. They were to be bright lights in a shining world, but rather than use their abilities and use their sight God has given them, they acted like they were blind. They ran after idols, like every other nation. Do we ever resemble Old Testament Israel? Every one of us here, I'm going to assume, has been redeemed by God in the waters of holy baptism. God has brought us into the light. He's given us eyes to see. He's given us sight to be his servants. But what do we do with our sight? Do we use it to proclaim and uplift his name in the world, or do we use it for our own gain? Do we run like the blind after worthless idols, money or fine clothes or fancy cars, or our reputations, or our big house, or our popularity? None of those things I just listed is bad in and of itself. But the trouble is, they have a funny way of getting us to look away from service to our God. They turn our eyes off of the cross. And when we look away from the light of Christ in our lives, it gets rather hard to see how we can serve the Lord. And rather than live in God's light and have 20/20 vision for how we can serve him with our lives, we're looking away at worthless idols, looking into darkness. We're unable to see. We're blind. Paul calls on us today, as he called on that Ephesian church so long ago. He says, wake up. Arise from your sleep as if you're dead. Allow Christ to shine on you once more. Let him give us sight and illumine the path before us. He calls on you and I today not to act as if we are blind. We aren't to be his blind and deaf servants. We're to be seeing servants. He's given you sight. Use it. You see, no blind person, if they were given their sight, would take it for granted. No blind person, if given their sight, would insist on closing their eyes and walking around as if they still couldn't see. And no Christian who's been given eyes and sight to serve Jesus should walk around in darkness anymore. brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the church. A very small remnant in the world. We're very few who actually know the truth. We are the very few who have been given to see by the power of the Holy Spirit what God's will is for our lives. And just like God's people of old, we are to live in such a way that our light shines before men and we draw all people to Christ and to his cross and to knowledge of the kingdom. We have the same mission as they did so long ago. So don't be a blind and deaf servant. Don't spurn the gifts God has given you. Even today, begin to think about how can I use my sight to be a seeing servant of God. Now, as you look ahead, you start to get nervous when you actually think about serving the kingdom of God. It can be a scary thing when you actually let go and let the Holy Spirit move and work in you. As you look ahead, you may think, look, the way still seems pretty dark to me. I'm not exactly sure what God's calling me to. I don't actually know how this is all going to work out. But know that God goes before you with this promise. If you've ever been holding back because you're afraid of what God might use you to do in his kingdom, listen to what he tells us today. This is from our Old Testament reading. It says, I will lead the blind by ways they haven't known. It doesn't matter that you don't know the way. God will lead you. He says, I'll guide them along unfamiliar paths. I'll turn rough places smooth. You may think there's all kinds of difficulty lying ahead. God's going to smooth that out for you. And he's going to turn your darkness into light. So as you seek to serve him as a seeing servant, he promises never to forsake you, but rather always, as we say in the benediction every Sunday, to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Once you were blind, but now you see. Go then in peace and with your sight, serve your God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for prayer.